Hello and welcome to Nancy Graham, the Space Ranger. This is going to be chapter 30, so that's 30 out of a total of 56. And the story has been going on now for just over a year, and we're into the second half and the home leg, if such a thing exists on Jupiter. So this story is going back to the main character, Nancy herself, and hey, a daw, a tree, and away we go. Now, you might have forgotten what Nancy was up to on Jupiter. It's been a few weeks. Although it's worth remembering that on Jupiter, it was only about 40 minutes between the killing of the elderly and slightly doddery Cantabner Glimp in Chapter 28 and Nancy's descent down the mountain road into Bundrosna, which, if you've never gone that way, is a thoroughly underwhelming experience. And what Nancy saw was a rough and unmaintained gravel track descending under a tall purple tree canopy and flanked by green shrubs and rocks until it opened suddenly and rapidly into what looked to be the back wall slash unofficial dumping area of some sort of animal processing area. Beyond the processing area was a yard, and surrounding the yard was a collection of large single-story irregularly shaped buildings. Some of the buildings were connected, while others were separated by alleyways of varying sizes. Darkness was falling, but the place had a slightly untidy feel. Not dirty, but down at heel. Nancy walked across the yard and down one of the wider alleyways. Well, it was more of a road than an alleyway, but there was no sign of a vehicle, and the only sign of life was the half dozen Jupiterians trudging in either direction. They wore the same clothes as the Jupiterians of Kula Doff, but had their heads down, and the two that passed Nancy did so without even a sideways glance towards her. Nancy was fairly certain of what she was doing, which was searching for her European Space Agency colleague, Bart McMorrow, who, according to the Geronimus Flomp, was now in a place called Shan Laba Feistein and in need of rescue. Nancy was absolutely certain of what she was feeling, which was hunger. It had been the best part of a day since she had failed to eat breakfast. The Martian Sheriff's impromptu power grab in Canteen RB-71 of the Labyrinth of Chunticle saw to that. And now Nancy found herself in urgent need of food. She scanned around and saw dark grey blackstone walls, roofs made of some sort of vegetation, dusty but not mucky redstone cobbles, low-level lighting pouring out from the eaves above the blackstone walls of the buildings, four Jupiterians, three of them carrying heavy-looking bags, two heading towards her, and one walking the same direction, but at a slow trudging pace, and about 4 feet ahead. Nancy jogged up to the bag-carrying stranger, who turned out to be an old humanoid female, and, as she quickly found out, shy. Her name, for anybody listening that might be interested, was Leda Tadaleno. "Excuse me, my name is Nancy McGinley from the European Space Agency on planet Earth. I was wondering if you could tell me if that's food you have, and if so, where you got it," said Nancy.
I wouldn't really like to say," said Leda.
"Why?"
"Just, you know, I don't know. I prefer not to say. Please, is it food? I'm very hungry and I've just walked most of the way from Kula Doff,"
pleaded Nancy.
"Look, I'm from another planet and I'm looking for a colleague whose life is in danger. All you have to do is answer the question." "I suppose..."
"His name is Bart McMorrow," suggested Nancy.
"Well..."
"We came to this planet on a space rocket," said Nancy.
Okay then,"
relented the elderly Jupiterian stranger named Leda Tadaleno.
"It is food I'm carrying, and I got it from Schnabel and Hanan Unterwackel at their grocery outlet. Goodbye."
The old Jupiterian woman named Leda Tadaleno then slunk her head further into her shoulders and began shuffling away.
"Wait,"
called Nancy.
"Where is that grocery outlet?" It's to your nearest right," replied the woman.
Nancy turned to her right and saw a yellow glow from inside an open wooden door. And in the yellow glow inside the wooden door were rows of shelves stacked with tins and boxes. Nancy turned back to thank the stranger, but the stranger's head was back down staring at the slightly dirty red tree cobbles, and the stranger herself was in the process of quietly shuffling away. Leda was doing something she was extremely used to, which was quietly going on with her life. What she did not know at that instant, but was about to shortly find out, was that she had forgotten to pick up a box of umptified harduncles and would need to make a return trip to the grocery outlet. But for now, she had her head down and was shuffling away.
Nancy took the hint and left Leda be. She walked the dozen or so steps she needed to enter through the wooden door and into the bright yellow light of what might have passed for a general store in one of the remoter parts of planet Earth. An extremely long and empty counter ran along one wall, while floor-to-ceiling shelves ran the length of a long, narrow room. The room appeared to be lit by several large glowing orbs that floated at regular intervals just below the low ceiling. To Nancy, the shelves contained tinned fruit, dried pulses, salted cured meat, long-lasting hardy vegetables, packages of pre-cooked food, and jars of liquid. If Nancy had been Jupiterian, she would have observed tinned hologombles, optified hardunkles, salty nuzzwhackers, diorified gulong crunchers, ready-to-eat dinners, and jars of fermented Nuffeldang. Nancy spotted two Jupiterians at one end of the long shelved room. They were animatedly discussing the contents of an open tin of hologombles. Neither turned or acknowledged Nancy's entrance into the room.
Excuse me, I'm looking for something to eat, and I was told to come here, said Nancy.
The two Jupiterians were male and female humanoids respectively, and both were pale, fat, and looked to be middle-aged. A sort of unhealthy middle age, one that involved a grey pallor, hunched stance, and narrow bloodshot eyes.
Would you die for Sosman, love?
Said the female middle-aged Jupiterian in response to Nancy's introduction. The Jupiterian sounded drunk and was clutching an open jar of liquid in a way that made it difficult for Nancy to tell whether the woman intended to drink from it or to use it as a weapon.
What?
Would you die for Sosman, Borkstapple? The bollocks, repeated the woman.
She absent-mindedly spilled drink from the jar as she spoke. It evaporated as it hit the rough red tiles of the floor. The smell was of alcohol.
Would you, you know, give up your life for your leader,
repeated the drunk woman. She had now covered half the length of the long narrow room, which meant she was now halfway between the wooden door and Nancy and her companion. The effort caused her to wobble a bit more and lean in on the counter for balance. She placed the jar on the counter and said,
Well, would you?
Sosman is not my leader. I'm from Earth, and no, I wouldn't, answered Nancy.
Hey, but what if Sosman was the leader of Earth?
Called the male, possibly drunk, middle-aged Jupiterian from the far corner of the room.
Would you die for him then?
Why would I do that?
Asked Nancy.
I don't know. Well, say he died for you. Would you die for him?
Suggested the jar-spilling, counter-leaning woman.
Hang on, you're not making any sense, Habon,
called the male.
What do you mean?
The counter-leaning woman ceased counter-leaning and stood upright.
Oh, sorry, you're right, Habon, she said. Why indeed? And one no is enough. Enough to make me think you hate Sosman. And if more folk began hating Sosman and not doing what the Sosniaks said, then Jupiter would be a better place. Hey, wouldn't it, Chernobyl?
The woman didn't wait for a reply from her male companion.
It would,
she agreed to herself.
And you are welcome to take any food you like, love, for nothing. For an enemy of Sosman, Borkstapple, is a friend of mine.
The woman then absentmindedly stared behind her at her companion.
Sorry, a friend of ours. My name is Habon Unterwackel, and this is Chernobyl. And you are in our outlet as a guest. So please take what you want. It's great to hear that folk from other planets hate Sosman too.
Nancy looked to the shelf for food and was about to choose something when a low rumble sounded from above the roof of the shop. It grew louder and the building shook. Nancy instinctively ran out from the building to see a large saucer-shaped flying vehicle circling and hovering over the roofs and streets and inhabitants of Bondrosna. It had a transformative effect on the handful of citizens that had been wandering the alleyway outside Habon and Chernobyl's grocery outlet. They suddenly began to look busy. Buckets and brushes were grabbed and sweeping was initiated. A small, elderly female inhabitant next to Nancy took out a slide rule and began measuring the width of the curbstones. Nancy hadn't noticed, but that small, elderly female was the shy Jupiterian she'd been speaking to earlier. Leda had been returning to the shop to pick up omptified hardunkles when the Sosniak patrol had appeared overhead. It was to be the single most important event in Leda's quiet, unassuming life.
What are you at, Leda?
Asked a voice. It was Habon's. Herself and Chernobyl had stepped outside to watch the saucer hover overhead.
Looking busy, whispered Leda.
Well, you could have fooled me, and you won't fool the Sosniaks, said Habon. Come into the outlet to pair ye,
continued Habon, gesturing at Leda and Nancy.
Those Sosniak footmen will be walking the place soon, and they're not going to believe curb measuring. Come in to pair ye and pretend you're stacking shells. That'll look a bit more realistic.
Nancy, for want of something better to do, and in an impulsive sense of trust to the generous Sosniak-hating Jupiterian she had just met, went back into the shop. Leda followed, quietly. Quietly following was one thing Leda was good at. She was the second child of Mogabod and Frog Tadanedo. Her brother was 13 years her senior and was someone she knew little about. She was little more than 5 planetary cycles old when he left to join a Sosniak-Plutonian conquest expedition and never returned. Leda's father, Frog Tadanedo, was a tax collector in Hobla Graniker. He managed to find work with the Sosniaks not long after Sosmund Borgstaple came to power and renamed Hobla Graniker. Leda's father was also very protective of Leda and insisted she go everywhere with him as he collected tax. That meant that a large part of Leda's formative years involved her watching her father getting punched, kicked, spat at and insulted. The days, weeks and years spent traipsing behind Frog had a lasting impact on Leda. It can do things to your worldview to see a grown-up get kicked and abused in that way. In fact, it can poison your view of existence, which is what happened to Leda. She now works at the weigh station in Bundrosnir. Her job is to observe the officials as they measure and log the cargo trains passing through section AZG4183 on the main Claspabrone highway. To date, she's recorded details for 18,938 cargoes, which has taken her 3 decades. Leda has otherwise retreated from life. She spends her evenings in a nondescript apartment on the low-rent Stormy Mountain site of Bundrosnir. Her sole source of pleasure are the travelling shows she sometimes watches. The ground shook as Nancy re-entered the shop. Leda and Nancy were both handed 3 large tin cans with yellow labelling and bright red Jupiterian writing surrounding a picture of something brown and hairy by Schnabel.
"Look busy," snapped Schnabel. "Those Sosniak footmen will be in here any minute. They know we don't like them, so Sergeant Bolifanker always makes sure to call in and piss us off during his inspections."
Nancy squatted down and pretended to be placing a can next to a row of similar sized and labelled cans. Leda stood on her toes and pretended to be stacking one next to a large jar of liquid. Habon and Schnabel retreated to the back of the room and continued talking among themselves. The actions of all 4 preceded a large bang and the heavy footsteps of 3 male blue-uniformed Jupiterians walking into the room. Nancy recognised the uniforms from Chapter 6, the one where she had almost gained possession of an Alderaan crystal from a Jupiterian space rocket that had landed on Mars. Each of the 3 uniformed Jupiterians carried a long brown wand and an angry expression. Nancy instinctively and quietly felt for her crossbow, but continued slowly stacking and rearranging tins on the low shelf.
"Have you got hold of a pair of helpers, Schnabel?"
asked one of the Jupiterians. He was stouter and older than the other 2, and his tone was dripping with sarcasm.
"What's it to you, Bolifanker? Have you Sosniaks got sick of getting beaten up by Plutonians yet?"
replied Schnabel. Habon cackled a laugh.
"What it is to me is that I think these are dirty rebel anti-Sosniak Torags, and you and your wrinkly old Mrs. Habon are sheltering them." "Hey, you're no oil painting yourself, Bolifanker,"
cackled Habon.
"Habon is right," agreed Schnabel. "And these 2 workers are stacking shelves."
"Oh yeah? Well then, what is this weirdly dressed one doing putting tins of hologombles next to tins of hologombles?"
said the stouter, older, uniformed Jupiterian, pointing to Nancy.
"Are you on drugs, Bolifanker?" asked Habon. "Where would you like them stacked? Along the arse end of Sosman's anterior vestibule, huh?"
"Well, there's no need for language like that, Habon," continued the stouter uniformed Jupiterian. "This is why I hate visiting Bundrosa. None of you have any respect, especially you pair, Habon and Schnabel Unterhwackel. Mark my words, ye 2 will make a mistake one day. And by the witness of my 2 less skillful underlings here, I will punish ye for it with my wand, and it will be something simple, some small mistake. Hang on. Why is that wrinkly old crone stacking hologombles next to jars of fermented offaldang? She is no worker. She is a traitor to Sosman."
The stouter, older uniformed Jupiterian walked from just inside the door, where he had been standing with his 2 colleagues, and over to where Leda had been standing on her tippy toes, placing a can next to jars on a high shelf.
"Speak now, woman,"
he yelled.
"Please, I'm a worker. I record cargoes for the Sosniak forces. I just got nervous. I'm panicked. I just tried to look busy,"
stammered Leda.
"Liar,"
snapped a stout uniformed Jupiterian. He then pointed his wand towards Leda, and it began to glow. Nancy gripped her crossbow. But there was no time for her to draw a bolt. A beam of light passed the short distance from the stout Jupiterian's wand to Leda. There was a flash of light, a brief smell of fried bacon, and then a small twist of smoke where Leda had been. The smoke quickly dissipated, and the stout Jupiterian laughed. His two colleagues over by the door laughed nervously along with him.
"Let that be a lesson to ye," he said.
"You're some bollocks, Bollafanker,"
said Schnabel. Bollafanker didn't respond, but sniggered, turned on his heels, and walked out the door. His two colleagues followed behind. Habon walked over and closed the door behind him. She shook her head sadly.
"And you know the irony of all that is that poor old lady's father used to work for the Sosniaks."
"He did indeed,"
continued Habon.
"You know, I'd love to ram that Habernankle wand up Bollafonker's fat arse."
Okay, said Schnabel. I suppose it's what the woman would have wanted,"
suggested Nancy. The room then fell into silence.
"Yes, well, each to their own, Habron,"
said Schnabel finally.
"But we should definitely plan some sort of revenge."
And that was it for the early evening on the fourth day of the first human expedition to another planet. A dead Jupiterian customs secretary, a tin of hologombles, European Space Agency mission specialist Bart McMorrow passed out drunk next to the San Laika 2 spacecraft in the Jupiterian townland of Shan Lava Feistine. European Space Agency mission specialist Nancy Goodaim McGinley, Habon and Schnabel Unterwackel, a desire for revenge, an underground army of sorts, and a homicidal robot on Jupiter.
And that's it for chapter 30. And if you're still following, fair play to you, happy days. This will keep rumbling along. There's whatever is left now, 26. So, and a big audio drama finish in the summer. So again, thanks for listening, and chat to you in 2 weeks for 31. Cheers.